Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include fitness classes, community education, information, and referral. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos, today and every day, which is my pleasure.
John, I'm sorry, but sometimes we have very good conversations offline.
It's the truth. I'm going to go here now because that's what happens at the break. I'm agreeing. We're talking with Barbara Berkowitz, who is the president of the Board of Ed of the Great Neck School District. And at the break, okay, we had it was a tough conversation because Barbara's mother is in a nursing home and she hasn't seen her mother in a year because of COVID. But worse than that, in January of 2020, Barbara lost her husband. So you lose your husband and some people say, leave me alone. I'm grieving for the next 2 months, 6 months, a year. But then Barbara basically got hit with COVID, meaning as the president of the Board of Ed. And she had to put everything in perspective. And by doing so, she rose to the occasion or whatever the expression is, and literally took care of thousands of children that she considers hers because of her responsibility as president of the Board of Education, excuse me. And Barbara's not looking for any praise from me, but I have to just turn around and say, I commend you. I'm actually a grief counselor, so I understand what happens at death and I understand what people go through. And Barbara, I have nothing but accolades to turn around and what you did at such a terrible time in your personal world to reach out and help the children that you care for. It's a job you should have forever if you want to have it, because I'm in Great Neck and Otto isn't, but he's close enough. He's in New Hyde Park. Have nothing but respect for you. I mean that very sincerely. Mm-hmm. It's just, and the job you're doing, we don't have respect for you because you went back to work after a death in the family. You went back to work and excelled. The Great Neck School District is a model. Were you going to say something, Otto?
Yeah, I can relate to Barbara in that my first wife passed away at the age of 40 years old. And where I'm going with this is that everybody, John, you as a grief counselor would be very aware of this. Everybody grieves in their own way. And just because you're outwardly functioning and doing all you have to do doesn't mean you're not grieving. You know, I'm sure you have your moments. And it goes on for me, it's 40 some odd years ago, and it never goes away completely. Believe me, you know, it's there. But you can do what you're doing, which is to still function, which I encourage anybody who's going through this process to try to function, because you have to. Life goes forward and you really have to. But this is altogether off the track.
Nothing's off the track.
Well, you know, the point being that it hurts physically, it hurts mentally, it hurts emotionally, and it doesn't go away. Yet Barbara is doing a great job for a lot of people functioning and going forward. And if she didn't, it wouldn't help the school district or the kids in it. So anyhow, that's my point. I had one other thing too, by the way, which we haven't touched on, but not just because of COVID, but one of the things that I'm sure you get very involved with that has changed in my lifetime particularly is the need for security in schools. You know, this is like another planet now. You know, we used to have none that I can remember. When I went to school, if it was there, it was not very obvious. And now I'm sure you spend a considerable amount of time talking about security. It can't be taken for granted.
It's not just a question of time. It's a tremendous amount of money, but it's investment that people aren't aware of. When they take our total budget and divide it by the number of students that we have and arrive at a figure, it is such a false figure. Because you don't take into it transportation. You don't take into it what we spend on security. And security is not just manpower. We now have, for all secondary students, they wear a badge in order to get into a building. So they are quickly identifiable. We have double doors in our schools. We have locks put on and alarm systems on exit doors. We have one-way entrance with security guards there. There's so many things that we've had to do. And we do it because it's our responsibility to protect children in every way. So that's a part of it. We've added to it all the time. We also spend a considerable amount of money for our private schools, and we do it willingly and lovingly. These are still our children. And I say the same thing all the time. Regardless of whether you attend a private school or a public school, you are a Great Neck child, and we have responsibilities for you. We provide transportation, we provide textbooks, we provide support services, and we do everything that we can under the law. It's called permissible accommodation. Whatever we can provide, we do provide. And I feel that it's a responsibility of ours, regardless of what school a child attends. And to get back really to something you were saying a little bit earlier, you and John, there's really no pause button for children. So you don't have the time to say, I need 6 months to grieve. I need 12 months to grieve. I need 2 years to grieve. There's no pause button in the world of education. You have to go on. Either you have to go on or you should not be in that role, because you can't go ahead and say, listen, we're going to stop in the middle of third grade for you, and we'll go back to when I'm ready. It's not a question of when I'm ready. Children still are ready. Our staff expects it. They expect the professionalism and the support. That's the other part of it. Our staff needed to feel that we cared for them, that we supported them. Some of them got accommodations if they had medical reasons why they could not physically be in a building. Then they were teaching via remote. There are so many different things that have to be considered, but everybody is a person and a part of, as John said earlier, the Great Neck family. And it really is, and it should be. You look after one another in a family. And that's how I feel about the schools also. It's not a business. It's not a profit-making business. We're very careful when we create our budgets. We're very mindful. We're taxpayers in the community also. I'm a taxpayer. I want to make sure that not a penny extra is spent that doesn't have to be spent. But there are things that increase it. Over 80% of our budget is just staff. It's just staff. There are other things as well in terms of maintenance of our buildings and transportation, but over 80%, it's a people-operated business. And unless you're willing to increase class size or eliminate electives or eliminate some of the programs that we take pride in, our music program and our theater program and our sports program, you know, just to name a few. We have a tremendous robotics program, a recreation program. Our technology is so superb that we could move effortlessly into the pandemic because of what we had in place already before. So maybe I sound like a cheerleader. It's because I am so proud of this district.
That's good.
Yeah, it's not a cheerleader. You know, you're doing what we asked you to do and what we request from everybody coming on the show. Bring us up to date on what's going on. And we only want people on this program. And the word I use is own the job. You know, you own this. This is not something you're doing for accolades and pass the time and I have nothing but, oh, this is going to be nice for my resume. No, this you're doing because this is a job of love that Barbara's doing. And you are sacrificing quite a lot. But I don't even know. Like, I had three daughters going through to school. And I don't know until now if I've appreciated how much work goes on behind the scenes. And I mean that very sincerely. My girls all went on to college and masters and everything else. I have three wonderful girls, et cetera, which I know the Great Neck Schools helped, and my wife. And I had no part of it, but my girls, I mean, the school and my wife took care of my girls. But what you're talking about, Barbara, is just staggering. What you and the board are doing for our town and for our school, just it's amazing. And I want to say thank you, to be honest with you. I just, you know, I'm taken back this morning.
There's really no need for thanks. I don't do it as a stepping stone position. It's not, as you said, a resume builder.
Right.
It's not for the accolades. I never aspired to become a school board trustee. I was a very active parent in my son's elementary school, which is why they asked me. I was appointed. And I said, very firmly, I'm not interested. Please, I'm not up to the job. and each board trustee at the time, Mona Fuchs, Larry, Don, and Judy, called me separately to go ahead and implore that I go ahead. Larry lied to me, Larry Gross. He said, it's just a little bit of reading. And that's come to be the standard joke all these years. It is far more than a little bit of reading. And I never set out to become president of the board. It is a position that my colleagues have asked me to take on. So when I'm accused of anything, we're a five-member board and we're five equal members, five equal votes. Perhaps I carry more of the load in terms of responsibility and work and having to deal with the superintendent and set agendas for meetings and all of that. But we're a board. It's not a one-person board.
Do you ever have to deal with parents?
All the time.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding.
Right. But parents also don't understand the difference between a board of education and administration. We govern a school district. We don't manage it. And people don't realize that. And that's really the fundamental difference. We oversee everything, but we're not a part of the day-to-day operations.
That's an interesting, right. Yeah.
I'm the president of the board of the Great Neck Senior Center and of CLASP. But I don't do the day-to-day stuff. I understand, you know, we make recommendations. They'll come to me and say, John, this is going on. What could we do? What should we do? But they run it, and that's what you want. You want a superintendent and teachers and all the way down to respect, like their job, and do the best. But then you guys will come in when something's going off course and say, we recommend we should be going in this direction, which is so important, which you understand, but you're doing it the nice way. You're not saying you're running the school, but, you know, your input is very important.
I mean, obviously there's an organizational chart and a board of education is at the top of it, but you have to realize that there's really a chain of command.
Right.
Anything that we can do to facilitate things going smoothly, we do. Anytime we're needed for anything, we're there, or at least some of us are certainly there. We have more availability than others, or more experience or more knowledge. I think it's very important. I've been on the policy committee now for 29 years, and I chaired it right up until I became president, and wow. I felt that it was important for somebody else to do it. And the number one responsibility of a board of education is to set policy.
Agree.
Right.
Actually, we're out of time. This flies. Barbara, I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, and I mean that most sincerely, for coming on and to sharing that you and the board are so implemental in making the Great Neck School District the wonderful district it is. Thank you
so much, John, and thank you,
Otto, also.
It was a pleasure. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.